So it was tough. It was a hurting time. But I leaned on God. Okay, your turn. Okay, good. Right in the heart. A time something happened that was painful, and how did it affect your relationship to God? Ooh.
You don't remember that?
No. I'm getting old. I've got that. I do take pills that's supposed to let me think, but it's I need a bigger dose evidently.
I lost my mom when I was 23.
Oh. Not an unusual reaction. If you read the Psalms, that's a people got mad at God all the time.
I don't mean to share it to be well, you know. I would like to share with you what God can do. Now I have a niece who was coming home one night from college and she got to an intersection and she and another car met. Called her to the hospital. They worked on it for hours, and finally they gave up. Well, the doctor, one of the doctors that was working on her, was a good Christian. And he says, Lord, I help life. I give life. Don't take this life. Guess what?
He got better.
30 minutes later, she was dead solid. 30 minutes later, she was alive.
Okay. Yeah. Is all pain bad? I got a few of these. Why isn't it bad? I mean, you wouldn't cheer it on. Come on, pain. Not that kind of thing. Here's some things this is as deep as my mind would go. If you do any kind of exercise and you're not used to it, you'll have pain. But the pain shows you're making progress.
Thank you.
let's say we're going to banish pain. It's not going to happen. What happens if you put your hand on the burner of a stove and there is no pain? You don't realize what you've done. Okay. So the pain's giving you warning that something's not right. Okay. Let's say there's a fire in your home and you don't have any pain. It could kill you. They actually have had people do this who did not feel pain for one reason or another, and they come through the fire and they don't know they're being burned. And so the burns are much deeper, 3, and just not the number one. They're big because we didn't hear it. One more. You step on glass, but you don't have any pain. Tough stuff. But can... Okay. So pain's a warning system. Can be good. Would somebody like to read? Well, first tell me what omnipotent means. All powerful. It does. I'm impressed. Okay, what do you see that God is? The two things. Maybe it'd help if we go to that dish. Bible tells you that God can't lie. So if omnipotent means you can do, he can do what he wants to do, but what if he can't do everything? That would be an assumption he would want to lie. What about this? Does that help? When God makes a promise, it's going to be kept. Absolutely. That's a faithful thing. God is faithful and cannot be unfaithful because he'd have to be unfaithful to himself. Yes.
Can change his mind.
Yes, he can.
Okay, but if he makes a promise or if he uses an oath to set something apart, he can't go back and change his mind on those.
What's that say about omnipotent? Our God's omnipotent. there are some things that cannot be accomplished even with all power. Even though God has all power, there are things he can't do. When I was taking, I happened to take a course at Hank's alma mater. I needed a philosophy course to graduate. And they didn't have it where I was going, so I went up the road, 4 miles, maybe? And his favorite was, can God make a rock so big that he can't lift it? There are some things that even all power can't do. When tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. You look like you wanted to say something. That's why I'm here. Oh, well, you're reading. Okay. It's saying that God is so good that he can't even use evil. He can't be around evil. He can't put something in your way that would cause you to stumble. God is so good that when it comes to these kind of things where he's made a promise, when he's given his word on something, God will keep it. Even though he's all powerful, there still are things he cannot do. I'm getting strange looks, so you'll fire a couple questions at me. Has that blown your mind? Uh-huh.
And he was through his people not acknowledging him. And he didn't destroy all of the people, he saved a remnant.
Uh-huh.
But he got rid of the rest.
Yeah, he did. Jim, I saw you move. Oh, okay. Ooh.
So I went up to him and I said, do you know that right wing is on fire? And he says, yeah, if it gets too bad, just tell me and we'll get out of here. I said, where are we going to get it? Well, anyway, we landed safely, got away, no problem. The Lord took care of us. I kept asking, does the Lord take care of me?
This is the Amplified, and I like it, for it says God is incapable. Even with all power, there are things in the Bible that says God can't do them. Now, we're to have faith that he will do the right thing, but there are things he just cannot do. This is C.S. Lewis. William III, you want to read this? Because it's real long. And
omnipotence means power to do all that is intrinsically possible, not to do the intrinsically impossible. You may attribute miracles to him, but not nonsense. This is no limit to his power. If you choose to say God can give a creature free will and at the same time withhold free will from it, you have not saying anything about God. Meaningless combinations of words do not suddenly acquire meaning simply because we prefix them with two words, God can. It remains true that all things are possible with God. The intrinsic impossibilities are not things but non-entities. It is no more possible than for the weakest of his creatures to carry out both of two mutually exclusive alternatives, not because his power meets an obstacle, but because nonsense remains nonsense, even when we talk it about God.
Okay, what's that saying? That shirt pure white?
It is.
I see some black over here. Pure black?
Yeah.
I thought it was pure white. Is it pure black? Which one is it? You can't do that with God. You can't make God who you want him to be. I was going to use Bertha, but she's got a Patriot shirt on. I'm a little bit surprised the elders let her in, but your husband's an elder, so we got it. This is saying you can't make, there are things that just can't be done. You can walk or fly, but you can't walk and fly at the same time. If you're up in the air, there's nothing to push off on. Yeah, you can do that, but plane's flying. You're not in the air. You're not flying in the air. The plane's doing it for you. There are a number of people who try to use this idea. Well, God can't, and they put all these restrictions on him. God has his own restrictions. Don't make a God that has different, because you'll miss who he is. Does that make sense? Free will, what's it take to bust free will? What's it take to destroy free will?
We give it up.
You can be free unless somebody orders you or has possessions over you. Or you were listening to somebody in the Marines who's up here, who's worked his way there. They'll take away your freedom, and you have to do what they want you to do. And when you have that kind of thinking, you think that God is something that he's really not. Let's get into it. We got to move on this one. A man by the name of Lazarus is sick in the village of Bethany. He and two sisters, Mary and Martha. This was the same Mary who later poured perfume on the Lord's head and wiped his feet with her hair. The sisters sent a message to the Lord and told him that his good friend Lazarus was sick. When Jesus heard this, he said, his sickness won't end in death. It'll bring glory to God and his sons. Jesus loved Martha and her sister and brother. But he stayed where he was for two more days. And then he said to his disciples, now we will go back to Judea. What's the big thing about going back to Judea?
Dangerous.
Why is it dangerous?
Because they were wanting to kill Jesus.
Yeah, they tried to stone him. So they're trying to stay away from a second round of stoning. Teacher, they said, the people here wanted to stone you to death. Why do you go back? And Jesus says, aren't there 12 hours in each day? If you walk during the day, you'll have light from the sun and you won't stumble. But if you walk during the night, you will stumble because you don't have any light. And then he told them, our friend Lazarus is asleep and I'm going there to wake him up. And they replied, "Lord, if he's asleep, he'll get better." Anything spectacular hitting you yet? They're talking about different things. Jesus meant that Lazarus was dead, but they thought he was talking about sleep. And Jesus tells them plainly, "Lazarus is dead. I am glad that I wasn't there. Because now you'll have a chance to put your faith in me. Let's go to him." What's the situation?
He intentionally stayed away so that they would see him resurrect Lazarus. I mean, he wants them to put his faith, put their faith in him. You know, as, I mean, they already are saying that he's the Messiah, but he wants them to see this is literal proof.
Paul.
There is still a misunderstanding at this point because when he says, "Let's go to him," and he's already said Lazarus is dead, they interpret that to mean, "Let's go get killed."
Well, there's a second little thing about people who died in this day. They thought that spirit hung around for 3 days. So this is the fourth day that Jesus will get there. Spirit would be gone. So there'd be nothing left for him to do, right? Somebody like to read.
Jesus got to Bethany. He found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Bethany was only about 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many people had come from the city to comfort Martha and Mary because their brother had died. When Martha heard that Jesus had arrived, she went out.
Is it going to work? Ah, yes, it is. No, it's not. Ah, this might be one of my sweaty sermons. Okay, so how's Martha's faith? Yeah, how's Martha's faith?
Strong?
Yeah.
So she believed that he could have healed Lazarus.
Okay, great. Mike. She said the same thing. Okay. Strong faith in your view?
Well, there's one other thing, though.
Okay.
If you look at her faith, it's not just in the fact that he can heal, because they had already seen that. So they knew that he could heal. But if you look at what she says, you've got it in red. Martha answered, "I know that he will be raised to life on the last day when all the dead are raised." She has great faith in the doctrine she's been taught. You know what I mean? So
yeah. You're right on. Doing good. Bless you, my brother. Okay. I got to give it my thought back. Okay. So she says, if you'd been here, you wouldn't have died. And Jesus says, if he believes in me, he'll never die. Do you believe this? Yeah, at the last day. So what should you do next? Okay. He was still outside the village where Martha had gone to meet him. Many people came to comfort Mary, and when they saw her leave quickly, when they saw her quickly leave the house, they thought she was going out to the tomb to cry. So they followed her. Mary went to Jesus, and she said, as soon as she saw him, "Lord, if you'd been here, he wouldn't have died."
She's kind of blaming Jesus.
Yeah, think a little bit.
At least if I was Jesus, I would feel like I was being blamed.
Paul. It hadn't happened.
Okay. You have to understand, too, from their point, they'd sent for him, and he hadn't come.
Right.
So you can understand where they would might be a little bit angry at him.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, you didn't fool him, I don't think. Go.
I'd like to suggest something else, folks. I'm new here, but you know, I got to stick my thumb in the pie. We all want to hear what you've got to say. So please speak louder.
Okay.
I just don't run out.
Is Jesus untouched by this? How do we know?
Jesus saw Mary and the people with her were crying. He was terribly upset and asked, "Where have you put his body?" They replied, "Lord, come and you will see."
So Jesus isn't just an unconcerned mourner here. This is a best friend. Only way the girls could make a living was through a male. This is the one male in the house. So far, so good.
Sight to the blind, why couldn't he have kept Lazarus
Tell me what you see. I'll pick on somebody.
Other people are blaming Jesus.
Uh huh.
He could heal a blind. Why didn't he come and keep Lazarus from dying? If he cared about him, no, he did. He obviously didn't care, or he would have came.
Mike. Sure
did. I think that that's what the big point of the story is that Jesus is not just, he's more than doctrine. We believe in doctrine, but it's also that we're supposed to believe in him. He's the doctrine. You understand what I mean? It's more than just words. It's a person. He's the word. But sometimes when we're in the midst of something bad, if we'll hang on, God will actually use that to create faith in other people.
Mm-hmm. Understand what I mean? I do. Look at the last statement, 39. But Martha said, Lord, you know that Lazarus has been dead for 4 days. By this time, the body will have an odor. I thought she believed. That Jesus was life. And if Jesus just had to say something, he'd come back to life. And now she's got her moment, and she says, don't roll that stone away. It really will stink up the yard.
I think they still don't know what he's going to do.
But isn't that a contradiction? He's dead. He's been dead. He's going to stay dead. So leave it all up there. Uh-huh.
They're running. Like just because the opportunity prior was within that 3 days and the spirits believed to be lingering around. So this is something new to him. This is a major opportunity that wouldn't have been there had he not stayed away that extra time. And for all those people who are there on looking, even though they believe God is great, Jesus has so much still have that limitation in their head to where they're not even conceiving that it's something possible. So they're just thinking, hey, he's somebody there to mourn, and I'll open so he can see the body, maybe pray over it. That's all they're thinking. They haven't gone further to think all things are possible.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
So she's like, no, there's no bringing him back now. He's dead. He smells. The spirit's not tethered. It's kind of interesting that it's possible that her doctrinal limitations caused her to have an unclear understanding about who Jesus was.
Yeah. Okay. And Jesus said, didn't I tell you that if you have faith, you would see the glory of God? After the stone had been rolled aside, Jesus looked upward to heaven and prayed, Father, I thank you for answering my prayer. I know that you always answer my prayers. But I said this so the people here would believe that you have sent me. So Mike's on the line. Y'all had it good. What I want you to see is, when Jesus wasn't there for the moment, he's the one who caused it. If he'd have been here, this wouldn't have happened. This terrible, no good thing, if he was here. Paul.
This whole thing is still all about doing what we want.
Uh-huh.
We want God to do what we want. Okay? And that's what this is all about. And that's why they're saying you should have been here. But we forget Jesus didn't heal all the people he ran across during his lifetime. He didn't.
Mm-hmm.
He healed some people, but he didn't heal everybody. So how do you deal with that? Is he's going to do us a favor because we know him and we're friends, and after all, if he's going to heal anybody, surely he healed friends.
I picked one you saw, pick on. Carolyn. Who was the guy that was the villain for letting Lazarus die?
Jesus, apparently.
Yeah. Did he cause him to die?
No.
No. This is one of the biggest reasons people lose their faith. They blame God for something that happens down here on earth, and it's God's fault that it happened. How did the Twin Towers come down? The Twin Towers, New York, Twin Towers, September 11th. Terrorists. No, you didn't hear the news? New York is so corrupt and so evil, God sent them to wipe them out. That's actually been said by a lot of preachers. Why did Katrina hit Louisiana?
A lot of sin there.
Yeah, there's all that gay thing going on down there, and all that terrible stuff happening down there. And so that's why that happened. You see how they just changed one thing? And all of a sudden, something God didn't have anything to do with, he gets total credit for. It is God's fault. It is Jesus' fault. I'm going to talk about you. My grandmother died when she was 87 years old. And I was a wreck. And Sue was helping the wreck get along. And I said, why'd she die? Why'd she die now? And Sue said, when would you feel good about her dying? Good question. That was my grandma. And that's what you were saying. So one of the switches that takes place is that when things are bad, we give credit for them to be bad, because if we can make God or Jesus or the Holy Spirit bad, it's going to undermine your faith. It's going to undermine your faith. That's when it gets easy to quit.
I have to share something with you. Being a stranger in this town, I get lost very easily. And do you know, and I'm not stretching anything at all, but I just pull over to the curb, sit there for a minute, and say, Lord, I'm lost. Wait a minute, crank up, take off. knows how, and he speaks to this.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what drives the car. You know, it happens. Thank you.
If he can get you to blame one of the Godhead or to blame God for what happened, he can tear a hole in your heart big enough that it grows stale and your faith quits. I don't want to serve a God that's like that. Okay, can you see where we've been going? Kirk, I didn't see you come in. I saw Alicia. I figured she might have left you at home or... There are people of faith who feel that way. And then there are people who don't have any faith who feel that way. But anytime you transfer it, you have kids. How many kids it was their fault by before you get down to the one that really did it? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's important to understand that that stuff did happen, that the Lord did execute those things. But as a father, I also execute discipline when need be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we I don't think we need to be shy from stages of. Now, am I going to be so bold to say that Hurricane Katrina was a result of God's execution due to sin? Absolutely not. Number one, I'm not a prophet. I have no ability to state such a bold fact, and I will not do so.
Okay.
But, you know, the stories of the Old Testament, I believe, are where people get twisted around on those things. And there's truth to those stories, a lot of truth.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And explain, well, there's more to what you just read there. Yes, God flooded the earth, but there's a whole lot more to it than that.
Yeah.
So let's sit down and talk about
it. Yeah. Okay. When the Bible talks about Christians and non-Christians, perfect segue, Kirk. He did it just like I wanted you to. there's a war going on. And in a war, there will be casualties. And that hurts. But you have to know there are two sides and there's a war going on. And to know which side's warring against you, Jesus wasn't, he just put this out there over and over again. The world's not going to like you if you're a Christian. Okay? So, next week, I want you to sort of look through the eyes of Job, because Job does this the whole letter through. I think there are 44 chapters or 43 chapters or 42, somewhere around there. If you can read it all, great. If you can't read it all, I understand. But I want to get some what he was teaching and the way he was teaching it and what he was trying to accomplish. So remember tonight, read for next week. What 3 points? Yes. I am.
Jesus said, there's no one good but God.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.